Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
I'll talk to you a few minutes about relieving some of this tension between us and God. That's not our title today. If there's a title today, it would be Transformed by the Spirit. God's incredible plan to make us like His Son. Say it with me. God's incredible plan to make us like His Son. Now, I've preached along this line before, but usually in bits and pieces, and I want to be a little more thorough in this area this morning, because if we're not cooperating with the plan of God, then there's tension between us and God. And tension between you and God is going to keep you from having that peace with God that we so desperately need. The peace of God comes in our heart first, and then the peace with God, and then the peace of God sustains us. And without it, your armor doesn't do you much good. You know what happens if you don't have peace in your heart and the Word of God is brought? I don't care how revolutionary the Word is to you. If you don't sustain peace, the cares of this life, whatever it is in your life that is such a concern to you that you haven't committed it to Christ, is interrupting your peace. And whatever interrupts your peace is going to choke the Word of God in your life. Amen. And in spite of all that God says so powerfully and so wonderfully, the fruit of that, the product of that, is not going to come forth in your life. Amen. The cares of this life. You don't just think about that as worries alone. There's anything in your life that takes precedence to where you can't enjoy that deep, rich fellowship with Christ. Amen. Anything that takes away from that is going to interrupt your peace. And when your peace is interrupted, I guarantee you, amen, that you're not, the Word of God is not going to have a profound effect in your life. What's it meant to do? What is the power of the Word of God anyway? The Bible said, my Word is like the rain that comes down out of heaven and the snow that waters the earth and causes it to bring forth and to bud. So shall the Word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It will prosper. It will accomplish the thing that I desire. Everybody say, the potter has a desire. Everybody say, the potter has a design. Everybody say, he uses his Word to accomplish His will on the earth. Amen? But He's got to get His Word in the earth in order to do that. And He's got to get His Word in you, and He's got to get it in me. And unless He finds a good ground heart, the seed isn't going to bring forth the fruit. Amen? It'll prosper in what? The thing whereto I sent it. The Scripture said He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions. He what? He sent His Word. Well, what happens when something chokes the Word? Then that mighty, wonderful, powerful work isn't accomplished. And the one great thing that keeps it from being accomplished is other things entering in. Amen? Other things entering in. It's incredible how things enter into our heart that can choke out the very Word of God. Amen. And take away our peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. In Him that make peace. There's a part of your armor called your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Can you say amen? Scripture said in the Old Testament, great peace have they which love thy law. Christ taught, in this world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. He said, I've come to give you peace, not as the world giveth. I've come to give you. Amen? That's a supernatural peace. And without it, amen, and it's not just the peace of not having any problems in life, because I don't believe that's the peace that Jesus came to give, because everybody has problems in life, amen. But when we don't commit those things to God, when we don't give ourselves to God, when we don't cooperate with God in His holy purpose being accomplished, we become a stagnant Christian. The progress has stopped. There are people here this morning that used to be zooming with God, and now we're kind of just sputtering along. We're trying to sustain a status quo. We plateau out. And I remember when I went into weightlifting for a little while and not bodybuilding so much. I just got in the gym, was doing other things. I decided, well, pump some iron while I'm in there. Muscle burns fat. And if you're going to work on fat, get some muscle. And that was years ago while my joints still worked, before I started blowing joints. And amen, and busting capillaries in my eye. Amen. I really didn't need to push that much weight to spike my blood pressure up to bust capillaries in my eye. But it's an ego thing after a while. You know, you just want to go higher and higher and higher. But I remember when I started, I couldn't wait to get back to the gym because I wanted to put a little more weight on. I wanted to challenge myself a little more. I wanted to go at it a little harder. I wanted to have the sense of accomplishment that I broke this barrier and I broke that barrier and I broke that barrier. Amen? But after a while, you kind of plateau out. Everybody say plateau out. If you're not challenged in your spiritual life, you're going to plateau out. And God's ongoing work is going to stop and it's going to stall right there. Amen? It's an amazing thing. You can be just started in the Lord. But if you're making progress, you don't have to be where someone may have plateaued out way above you. But they don't have that desire. They don't have that desire to seek Him like that new Christian. And that new Christian will touch more lives in the first stages of their spiritual growth than someone that's been at it years and plateaued out. Because they don't come in with that desire. They don't have the eye of the tiger anymore. They got the sleepy eye, that thousand-yard gaze of the jaded church member that just stares out in space through interpretation of tongues and stares out in space through prophecy. Amen? Because somewhere in our life, we got satisfied with tongues or satisfied with a blessing. We got satisfied with ourselves where we were and the work stopped because we were not like Jesus yet. And God wasn't finished yet. But we decided to stop. And that's where spiritual stagnation sets in. And believe me, all that you've learned and all that you know, amen, a brand new Christian that don't hardly know anything but has that zeal for God is going to touch lives for Jesus. Can you say amen? Can't quote near as much scripture as you, not near as biblically astute as you, but that passionate first love that drives them and draws them will affect other people and infect other people. Can you say amen? It's infectious. And when you lose that first love, what happens in a marriage when you lose the first love? Danger signs had better go up. Amen? Amen? Because when the first love is lost, then communication begins to break down. And you're together, but you're not one anymore. You're together, but the love is not there. The excitement of being together is gone. Something's gone. They wrote the song, the pop song years ago. I think it was B.B. King that said, "The thrill is gone." Amen. Well, listen, the thrill can go out of your love relationship with your mate, and the thrill can go out of your love relationship with your master. And when the thrill is gone or the first love is gone, we methodically do things that we should be doing from a deep love within our heart. And it doesn't impress the world when we mechanically practice our religion. What impresses them is when we pursue Jesus Christ with deep passion within our heart. Can you say amen? Can you say amen with more passion? Hallelujah. God's incredible plan to make us like His Son. You see where we're headed with this? I feel two things going on here. God's desire to make us like His Son, and our plateauing out as Christians that stopped the process. And then we wonder what happened. Where did our peace go? Where did our joy go? When you were making progress in your Christian life, you had peace and joy. You just knew God was at work within. Amen? You were so Christ-centered. You didn't have time to be self-centered. But when you lose that Christ-centeredness, then you become self-centered. And everything revolves around you and your problems and your needs. And you just miss it again. And God wants to bring us back to that place. Some of you had a passion that just wouldn't quit. Some of you had a heart to seek God till He come. And nothing would sway you. You remember how it was when it was white hot? What did Jesus say He wanted to be, hot or cold? And that word for hot is in water. If it was used for water, it would mean when it comes to a boil. If it was used in metal, it would be when it became red and glowing. Can you say amen? The Bible spoke of being fervent in spirit serving the Lord. The same word Jesus used for hot in the book of Revelation is that word fervent. And it means either boiling to the boiling point or white hot. He said, either be extremely one way or in the extreme the other way. But don't try to stand in some middle ground because that's lukewarmness. And that's the great enemy of God's Spirit working within us. The great enemy of revival in America is not the media. That won't stop revival. Where sin doth abound, his grace. Wait, I'm going to run that by you again. Where sin doth abound, his grace. You think God is able to move in spite of and in contradiction to all this move away from God in this world if his church will let him move that way? You think he can send revival to us sitting here this morning with our aching backs and our sore knees and our lives that are so pressurized? Do you think your heart could be inflamed again with passion for Christ? You think it could happen to you? It's not going to happen as long as you just keep being satisfied where you are. Amen. I'd rather preach to prisoners down in the jailhouse than Christians who are lukewarm and satisfied. Because a prisoner might get saved. And if he does, he's going to have an immediate passion for Christ. And that passion is going to touch other people. Hello? And he'll be more of a soul winner his first 6 weeks in jail with a transformed life than we are in the next 6 years sitting in church without the passion. Hello? Hello? When you lose it, everything in the world will take precedence over the things of God. There will never be time to seek the Lord. I don't have time is a lie. We're lying to God. We're lying to ourselves. Because what we love, we find time for. The man who loves to fish, he finds time to fish. I see my wife says, if I keep the bumper sticker on the big four-wheel drive vehicle with the hitch on it, amen, and for the boat, and it says, my wife says, if I don't stop fishing, she's going to leave me. Boy, I'm going to miss her. Can you say, man, I saw one the other day that said, women love me and fish fear me. If your passion is fishing, you will find time to go fishing. Amen. On your day off, you will not sleep in if your passion is fishing. On your day off, what's going to happen? Amen. You're going to set your, because the fish get up early. Can you say amen? So you got to get up early if you're going to really fish, if you're serious about fishing. You want to be at the lake at sunrise. I used to go with my stepdad occasionally, and we had to be there when the sun was coming up. He wanted to be in the boat headed to the fishing spot when the sun came up. That meant around 4:30 in the morning, because we would drive, you know, 60, 70 miles to whichever lake it was, and we'd get up at 4:30 in the morning. This is on a Saturday. Everybody's worked all week long. You finally got a Saturday. Amen. There's so many people want to sleep in on Sunday. Amen. But a fisherman with a passion for fishing, he's got a day off. He doesn't want to spend it in bed sleeping. He's ready to go fishing. I'm talking about a real fisherman with a passion for it. You know, it's just like real Christians with a passion for Jesus. They're the same way. Passion is passion is passion. And I'm going to submit to you, if he can wake up at 4:30, amen, and say, I'm ready to go, I'm raring to go, because I have a passion to do this thing. We ought to get woke up in our spirits. Woo! The amens are awfully muffled. Amen, for passionate spirits. We're about to betray ourselves. I said, amen. Well, it's so easy. Amen. Or as Ernest Angley says, amen. Amen. Where's the passion? I'll tell you where your passion is. And if you've lost passion altogether, then you just don't love anything except to go to bed and pull the covers over your head. I'd rather see when somebody passionate about something than passionate about nothing. Amen. There are people passionate about atheism. I mean, you mention God and it just turns their bucket over. They go nuts. Can you say amen? Amen. At least they're committed to their cause. Their cause is wrong. But you listen, commitment is commitment is commitment. So a lot of Christians are not passionate about our cause. But we need to get that passion back. Amen? Amen? One thing have I desired. Everybody say passion. That will I seek after. I'm telling you, what you're after, you're going to seek after. What's in your heart, you're going to go after. You're going to find time for and energy for. Oh, I don't care if it's yard sales. I don't, if it's Oprah, Dr. Phil, if it's soap operas, there are people passionate about their soap operas. When I worked for Tampa Electric, it was my job a lot of times to go knock on a door and tell people your power is going to be off while we repair a line. I went to a lady's door and knocked on it, and she said, no, it is not. I said, it's got to be, ma'am. We've got to cut this and we've got to do that. And it'll only be about 15 minutes. She said, you're going to have to wait. I thought somebody's in the back room in an iron lung. Or somebody was on some kind of machinery, medical problem, and it wasn't. It's, you know, as the stomach turns or something was just getting ready to come on. Amen. The young and the useless or something was just getting ready to come on television. And this was an episode. This is before the day of VCRs. You couldn't tape it and watch it later. And you'd miss the thing. Can you say, man? And it's right at the point when Dr. Husendicker is about to leave his medical practice and run off with Nurse Nancy and leave his family and everything. And you can't miss that. Well, I got to give it to the woman. She had passion about something. Hello? Wouldn't it be great if Christians had that kind of passion? I'm right in the middle of a gospel concert. You cannot have the power off until this is over. Of course, we went ahead and unhooked her anyway. I went and told my boss man that she says she can't have her power off. And he said, well, why? I said, because there's a soap opera episode coming on in 5 minutes. He said, this big old wad of tobacco. Cut it out. She's hopping mad, so sue us, you know. I really don't think that's going to carry much weight. You lose your passion. You lose the zeal. You have all this head knowledge, and you want to be a witness for Jesus Christ, but that desire, that driving desire is gone. God wants to bring back that driving desire because He wants you to know His purpose is to make you like His Son. And everybody that knows we're not there yet, wave your hand. Amen. Well, God wants to get us back on track. He wants to get the clay back on the potter's wheel. He wants to take out the flaws. He wants to work a work on the wheel. He has the design in His heart. Hallelujah. All you have to do is be surrendered on that wheel. Get your passion back. You'll want back on the potter's wheel. Get your passion back. You'll want to spend more time in praise and worship. Get your passion back and you'll find the time that you can't seem to find for the things of God. And when you do, God will begin a brand new fresh work in you. He that's begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. If you stay and if I stay on the potter's wheel, one thing have I desired, that will I seek after. I'm always amazed at Green Bay Packer fans, cheeseheads, that live up in Wisconsin. And sometimes in the middle of the football season, a home game is played. Every time Tampa Bay goes to play in one of these cold, cold, frigid places, they usually lose. Well, they usually lose anyway, to be honest. But at least they have an excuse when it's that cold. Amen? They're not used to practicing in that cold or playing in that cold. But amazing thing to me is see these cheeseheads that will take their shirts off in blizzard conditions, enjoying the game. They got there in the cold. They sit up there and shake in the cold with a wind chill factor of 5 below. And they watch and enjoy the game. A lot of Christians get up on Sunday morning and look outside for one cloud. It's not so they can run and say, I feel the abundance of rain. It's so they can go back inside and say, it looks like it might rain. But when the passion is there, it's different. Visited Robert Gass's church. Back before churches were mega, this was mega then. 1,500 Pentecostals was a mega church back in the old days. Amen. And walk in that church in the wintertime and ask him how many people came there. And he said around 1,500. Said this was a little community and just the churches were just kind of dead. And they went through their ritual every Sunday morning. And said we got a real move of the Spirit going. Said people begin to come and get saved. And people begin to come and get filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember when you got filled with the Holy Spirit? How excited you were about God. And how exciting you were. You realize you were exciting because you were excited? How many know when you lost the excitement, you're not exciting anymore? Why should anybody get excited about the Jesus you serve if you're not exciting? Can you say amen? If passion isn't driving, I'm not talking about a purpose-driven life. I'm talking about passion driving you. Hallelujah. One thing have I desired. How passionate was his desire? He said, as the heart pants after the water brooks. He's so thirsty, he has to stop everything he's doing and begin to sniff the air and find the way to water. His very life depends on finding that water. He said, at that point, when that thirst begins to set in, everybody say a survival instinct. See, we've lost our spiritual survival instincts. We think we can survive without that passion. I'm telling you, you're not surviving. You're in the throes of spiritual death. And you don't even realize that your testimony is dying. Your excitement is dying. The seed is dying in the ground because the cares of this life is choking it. Unless you recover your passion, the word's not going to work in you. Because other things will enter in and choke it constantly. Because unless you get single-minded, other things will enter in. And it doesn't matter what it is. It always begins to hurt the growth of the Word in your life. Can you say amen? So Satan says, I can't stop God. I can't withstand the Holy Spirit. Amen. I've got to get these people to lose their passion. Because the moment they do, other things are going to choke the Word. And if the Word is choked, the faith isn't going to be there. The shield is going to come down. Can you say amen? All of the fruit of the Spirit is going to stop. You're going to be old religious you, and no one's going to see Christ in me and you. And old religious you is not a very good witness. Because old religious you, I hate to burst your bubble, is not like Him. Can you say amen? But I'm righteous. I don't do this and I don't do that. It's not what you don't do alone. It's what you do. Holy Ghost is not power to do. It's power to be. First and foremost. Can you say amen? It's not about whether you prophesy or not. It's whether you represent Jesus. In a powerful, personal, positive way. Lose your passion. We become... Well, the salt loses its savor. It's that passion thing again. Jesus talked about the salt loses its savor. What's it good for? It's good for nothing. We live out our life and no one knows what our heart's desire really is because we live to eat meat, eat, and retreat. Amen? What is your passion? What is your one consuming desire? What drives you when you get up in the morning? Bills? Responsibilities? My job? My plans? My family, listen, all those things are important in their place. But where does God fit in? Where does Christ fit in? Where does His agenda fit in? Where does revival fit in? How can God get revival into people's lives and hearts that don't have a passion for Him? You know why there's revival in China? Everybody's new. Amen? Everything is new. When the newness goes, it's just like when the honeymoon ceases in the marriage. You ever see just married people sitting beside each other in a car, look like a two-headed person? Come back a while later. Amen? What changes? The passion goes. When the passion goes, what drives you? What drives me? Can you say amen? How many know if you draw nigh to God, what happens? What happens if you draw nigh to God? What always happens? What does God do? How does He respond to that? What does God do? If you feel distant from God, let me tell you something. What happens when you draw nigh to God? He does what? You think Sunday morning is going to cut it? You think drawing nigh is attending church on Sunday? Has it come to that? That coming to church on Sunday and taking care of our agenda the rest of the time is somehow drawing nigh to God because I go to church and the Holy Ghost moves and there's tongues and interpretations. Sometimes the preacher dances and shouts, oh, I love drawing nigh to God. You think that's what He's talking about? No. He's talking about as the heart pants after the water brooks, so my soul panteth after Thee. My soul thirsteth for the living God. God wants to make you thirsty again because everyone that hungers and thirsts, everybody say is passionate and driven. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after what? a little touch of God, a little placebo on Sunday morning. No, that are really seriously searching for God and His righteousness, they shall be filled. Hallelujah. That's why 120 in the upper room were filled. Can you say amen? They were filled. And this is just excitement in the Holy Spirit. They were filled. I want us to stand up and give Him praise for a minute. I don't want to preach this by myself. God wants to send revival to the Holy Church of God, but He needs your whole heart back. If He can't have your whole heart, there's no hope of revival. Nothing I can preach is going to do any good if other things keep entering in. Every bit of this word is going to get choked. And if it's choked, you're unfruitful in spite of the anointing, the power, and all of the purpose of God. And God wants to bring it back. One thing have I desired. When you first got saved, you had it. And as long as you had it, God worked a work within. And it was a mighty work within. You were exciting to be around. Jesus, just the mention of His name. It didn't take a lot to turn you on. Jesus, just the mention of His name. He made you want to dance, made you want to shout, made you want to cry, made you want to pray. Just the mention of His name. You may be seated for just a few more moments. You lose your passion, other things are going to enter in. They'll always enter in. Satan will see to it that you are so busied. See where a man's heart is, treasure is. It's a matter of prioritizing your life. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to gravitate to. Amen. If you be risen with Christ, how many people are saved? Really born again, born from above. Then you've been raised with Him. To do what? To live just like the world lives in terms of values. No. To live with a different value system. If you be risen with Christ, Colossians 3, chapter 1, seek those things that are above and not the things upon the earth. Listen to this. Second verse says, set your affections. Amen. Did you know you choose to love what you choose to love according to what you feel is important to you? Amen. Amen. Set your what? Your affections. On what? Things above. And not things beneath. What if you don't set your affection? Then Satan is going to make a bid for your heart. He wants it set on other things. I've seen people so-called come to Christ, not set their affections. Some guy or gal come along that isn't a Christian. They follow them down the road right out of church. They didn't seek the things that are above. They didn't guard their heart. They didn't set their heart. Amen. Some people, it's sports. Their passion is sports. Amen? There are men at work that could be a wonderful witness for the Lord if they would let their light shine. But I've never seen them get excited about Jesus. Not one time is excitement about Jesus. Attending church every Sunday, some of them in pulpit committees, but not one time getting excited about Jesus. Not once. But boy, let this playoff game come up. The excitement is there. Why? Because the passion is for that. Where a man's treasure is, that's where his heart's going to be. So the Bible said, lay up your treasure where? Lay it up in heaven, where the thief cannot break through and steal it, and the rust cannot corrupt it. For where a man's treasure is, here's his passion. Where a man's treasure is, his heart is going to be also. Amen? Jesus talked about that situation. He said this, you can't serve two masters. You can't have a passion for both of them. Only one of them is going to have your whole heart. Can you say amen? You can't serve God and mammon. Mammon is not just money. Money is just money. It's what money does. It's self-gratification is what mammon is representative of. God doesn't have a problem with giving you money as long as money in and of itself is not your quest. You know, it of itself can't make you happy. That only He can make you happy. Amen. There are people without a tenth of what you have, literally, that are happy in Jesus this morning. And there are people with 10 times more than you've got that are unhappy with Christ this morning. We brought nothing into this world. We can't take anything out of this world. Paul said, but I've learned in whatever state I'm in. I know how to abound, and I know how to be abased, and I've learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. Because I have Christ. He was driven. The greatest hindrance to revival is not the culture. It's not Hollywood. It's not the media. It's not MTV. It's not television. You know what it is? You know what it is? The lack of passion in God's people. Back in the book of Isaiah, they went through their temple worship, but there was no manifest presence of God. And Isaiah is watching all this orthodoxy go on and all this religious ritual go on. And they did their rituals religiously. They were there every day in the temple doing everything God prescribed, but there's no manifestation of God's Spirit. Oh, by the way, a manifestation of God's Spirit is not when He comes down and gives you a jolt. That is, it goes deeper than that. That jolt, will, believe me, you'll get over the jolt. I've seen you get the jolt, and I've seen you get over it. Can you say, man? No jolt of the Holy Ghost is the same as a God that you fall on your face before and fall in love with. Can you say, man? It's love that drives the deeper life. It's love driven. Can you say, man? It's not a quest for more power. It's want to know more about this person. Paul, with such power, said, oh, that I might know Him. His passion was still driving him. With all the experiences, he didn't plateau out. He was still on a quest. He said, not that I have attained, but that I might attain, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before. I press. See what was driving him, still driving him. This man's been to third heaven. This man has saw people healed. This man has preached and they said the gods have come down in the form of men. Hallelujah. He's seen it all. He's been healed from blindness, saw Jesus, heard His audible voice. And yet he says, oh, I want to know Him. More intimately, more personally, one translator says, examining all the facets of His being. If you start that process, you'll never complete it. It's an ongoing thing. God is bigger than you first thought He was. He's better than you ever thought He could be. And His grace is many-fold, not just the 2 or 3 folds we've opened up and got satisfied with. There's more to God than just going to church on Sunday and practicing your religion. So you know what Isaiah did? He cried out. He said, oh, and I'm getting away from my mic, and that's why we want a lapel mic. But I think they'll hear it if I say it loud enough. Oh, that Thou would rend the heavens and come down to the top of the mountains. He's talking about God showing up at the temple. God showing up in the life of the nation of Israel. Can you say amen? God showing up. We've perfected our religious rituals till God doesn't even have to show up for us to have church. And we don't even miss Him. We can preach faith. We can talk about anything. This is not just denominations out here that don't believe in the fullness of the Spirit. There are people talking about faith this morning, but there's no manifestation. It's all about faith and getting stuff. It's not about God and Him coming down and raining righteousness on us. So he said, Lord, oh, that You would come down and rend the heavens. That You would come down from Your heaven. Split the heavens. He's not talking about the rapture. He said, just come and manifest Yourself again. God distinguished Himself from the dead gods because He was a God that manifested Himself to His people. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? I'm going to let you in a little secret. God wants to manifest to you so that God can manifest through you. Amen? Because people just aren't listening without the manifest presence of God. When they preach the Word, the Lord worked with them. Everybody say He manifested Himself. The Lord worked with them. The Lord worked with them. It wasn't enough to have the greatest Bible scholars of the day, expository preachers of the day. God moved when they preached. There was a demonstration of Spirit and power. Because they didn't rely on man's wisdom to get people to make mental assent decisions. But they relied on the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? And the Spirit is here so God can what? Manifest Himself. That's different. Wow. What drives? Some people have given up on anything driving them. They've lost passion for everything. They're not too excited about sports. They're not too excited about anything. Now, it's just, you know, how are you going to live out your last days on this planet without a passion for anything? I mean, you know, when you want to go fishing, I'm too tired. Hey, you want to go hunting? No, I'm too tired for that. Let me tell you about hunters. Hunters are passionate critters. They will go sit in the deer stand in the woods in the cold, waiting to get maybe a shot at a deer. And they get excited when they get one. Man went with my uncle, who was a preacher. He was a great hunter. He loved to hunt. It was one of his other passions. Amen. He loved to go hunting, and he went to the Ocala Forest, and they took a new guy out with them. And he was so excited about going hunting with them. And he got a deer. He got a deer. He was so happy. He sat for hours in the frigid cold, and finally a deer came down because the dogs chased it down. He sat up there with a high-powered 30-30. Crack! And the deer fell down. He got him a deer. And he was so excited that he got him a deer. It was frigid cold, and he wanted to dress it out himself because he used to work in a meat cutting place, and he knew how to take them, cut steaks and everything like that. He wanted to cut his own deer up, and they took it back and they hung it up by the legs on a tree limb, and he went to cutting with his sharp butcher's knife, and it's ice cold, and he cut and he cut and he cut and he pulled and he cut to gut the deer. He got through cutting, washed his hands, and blood was still running. Frigid cold, 32 degrees in the winter, and blood was still running. He looked down and noticed he cut the end of his finger off. In his excitement, then he went frantically looking for the tip of his finger. Somebody said they found a finger down at Wendy's in the chili. And now they're looking at the woman, not Wendy's, because they're saying nobody here missing no finger. And none of our suppliers had anybody report a lost time accident where they missed a finger. People are passionate, do crazy things. Pentecostals used to have a reputation for doing crazy things because of our passion for Jesus. Amen? Amen? God used to move on us. He used to knock us for a loop. Because we came to church so hungry. Oh, so open. What the scripture said, everybody say passion. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Because an open wide mouth means a hungry heart and a hungry soul. And God says, I'll always fill that. We had a man come to our job and he was over the whole department. He was really safety oriented, and I would rush to do something like I always do, and he would say, Rev, you better slow down. You're going to hurt yourself one day. And he said, I'd hate to have to write you up, but I will, because I'm concerned about your safety. And he roared up a ladder on the day shift before I got there. He roared up this ladder, and there's this cable that goes around by this gate that opens for bottles, and it's on a big old wheel pulley, and he went to reach for the bottle because he wanted to get it unstuck, and he was in such a hurry that he got his finger, and when it took it around, it took off the whole tip of his finger. It took off a little, all of the meat up here on the top. It took the nail completely out. There's a nail back under the skin here. That nail will come all the way out. It took that all the way out, and the tip of the bone, took the tip of the bone off. It just did it just like that. And of course he had to come down and go wrap up, and then we called in the team that cleans up, because we're concerned about blood-borne carcinogens. You know, we don't want to catch nothing now that's different than it used to be. So a team has to come in with their goggles on, their gloves on, to mop up the blood there on the floor where his fingers started, you know, pouring out before he could wrap it up. Are you getting real queasy at this point? I'm about to pass out and it won't be the Lord. Can you say amen? So they come in and they got it all up and they sanitized the whole area, and they told us the story about how he lost the tip of his finger, and we were concerned, but anyway I was concerned. But anyway, moving right along, everybody has to practice what they preach. Everybody, I say, preacher, you got to practice what you preach. If I don't come in here with passion, if I give you a sermonette for Christianettes that want to stay in Christian bassinets, amen, you pray for me to get my passion back. But as long as passion's in my heart, I won't be satisfied with what satisfies you on Sunday morning. God has raised the bar. Hallelujah. And I want to come up to God's standard, not try to bring Him down to ours. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We got at the end of the night, me and Chuck, we were over cleaning underneath that area. You know, we were picking up some bottles that had fallen down in that area. And Chuck said, "What in the world is this?" And I looked down and I said, because the way he said, I wanted to say, "It's a finger." So anyway, we called somebody to come and get the end of that finger that was laying down there. They missed the finger. Our big cleanup crew missed the biggest part of the thing, and it was the finger. It was laying down there with all the nail and a little piece of the bone. It wasn't pretty. So they came with a little plastic bag. Guy came with plastic gloves and goggles and a little plastic bag, and he got down with his gloves on. He picked up the finger, put it in the plastic bag, and he sealed it. Then all those lady operators that were operating the machines, he run over and says, "Look what I found in the blow mold room. Look what I found in the blow mold room." I would hate, you know, it's humiliating enough to preach on safety and then lose the tip of your finger. But when they pass it around the whole place where everybody can look at your finger and go, "Ooh, that's a finger." What drives you? What grabs your heart? We're Christians. We've been Christians for a long time. That's the problem. It's hard for God to work through Christians that have been Christians for a long time because we're happy where we're at. Hello? But God isn't happy with where we're at. So now there's tension because God is calling us upward. God is calling us onward. And when you lose your peace and joy of that passion, you can't fake it. It don't work. This mask that we put on. Amen. I'm not getting into this word right here because this is a whole lesson, and maybe we can get back into it a little bit later. But I'm going to read you this part of it. God wants to transform us by His Spirit. As we behold as in a glass His face, we are changed into His image. God wants to make, everybody say, God wants to make changes. Say, "Lord, send revival and let it start in me." Well, come on, say it a little more passionate than that. God, send revival and let it start in me. Well, see, it can't start in you or me unless we're open for God to make changes. As we behold as in a glass His face, we are changed into His image. From glory to glory, even as by the what? By the Spirit of God. Don't you believe that God, the Spirit, will work in your heart to accomplish what God the Father has designed? If we will get our passion back. I am going to read this letter from a Canadian missionary, quoted in an article by Mary Lou Stam. It had a powerful effect when I read it recently. She spent many years on the mission field and wrote the following upon her return. And I want all the Marthas in this room to listen to this. "When I returned from Zaire, I felt I'd lost my reason for living. My friends, my home, my companions, my job, and my belongings were gone. I was too exhausted to think of a job, too insecure to consider entering a new situation. I was going to drop out. I hated using the telephone. I felt totally inadequate before a simple electronic calculator. Although I resented watching the things that I saw here, I found myself longing for them. I enjoyed the carefully and tastefully decorated homes. Then would come the memory of a fragile mother crumpled at my feet, begging for a bar of soap for a baby of 2 hours old, clutched under a dirty cloth. How could I ever find meaning again in a culture that had everything, that threw away more food and clothing than my country had ever seen? God has shown me slowly and painfully that I need to change. I need to grow. Need to know that He is not so interested in our service as He is in ourselves." When she came home from Christian service, she didn't have that vertical relationship. That ongoing work in her wasn't a continuing thing. And she was lost, without purpose. Are you hearing me? Before you seek your ministry for Him, you have to discover this call from Him to be like His Son and get back on track. Can you say amen? Because the moment we get back on track, God is going to work. He that began a good work. What was the good work He began? For whom He did foreknow? He did predestine to be conformed to the what? To the what? To the what? To the what? To the image of who? Amen. Your mama, your daddy, your grandma, your brother and sister in Christ, some evangelist, some teacher, some apostle. No, His Son. Can you say amen? How many know we got room to grow? But how many know we can't grow if we're satisfied where we are? So God wants to change that. And He wants the mask to come off. This woman unmasked herself. Their church is full of Christian workers that are void of true revival. Too many Christians are so preoccupied in what they are called to do for the Lord, they forget what they are called to be. You know what happened to Jimmy Swaggart? He was so preoccupied with what he was called to do, he forgot the higher calling is what he was called to be. And he was called to be conformed to the image of God's Son, not just to be a great anointed preacher. There's a difference in the anointing coming on you to preach and God working within your character to make you more like Jesus. Can you say amen? How many know without love, the gifts are sounding brass, tinkling cymbal? Love is the first characteristic of Christ in your life, the first and foremost fruit of the Spirit. And right now, the faith movement has superseded the love movement. We're not developing in love, and we're trying to be highly developed in faith while being underdeveloped in love. And faith itself worketh only by love, true faith. Amen? I've told this story before, but it bears repeating. A woman and her family were working in her yard, raking and bagging leaves. She was in old jeans, dirty tennis. Everybody say mask. How many know that... Halloween is not the only time people wear a mask. Some of you that would never put a mask on to honor All Hallows' Eve will wear a mask to church every Sunday morning. Some of you are not even good at that anymore. Some of you are just letting it all hang out. It's obvious there's tension between you and God. The absence of peace shows, and it glares out of our life. Amen? When I lose my peace, everybody at work knows it. Rev, what's wrong? They do not expect it out of me. I used to whistle while I work. I used to whistle subconsciously. We went down to Haiti and Jamaica. And there's a place called the Straw Market. Was it in Jamaica? There's a Straw Market. And that's where you can go and you get all of these hand-woven baskets and stuff like that. And when they see someone they perceive to be missionary or Christian from America, they know what to do. They start whistling. One lady started humming. Bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. Amen. Christians will stop here because I'm humming a Christian tune. I don't even think I was humming a Christian tune. I don't know what I was whistling. I was just joyfully whistling. And I'm on the other side of the lockers, and I didn't realize what just joy, just enjoying life, just having that peace in a troubled world would do to my witness. Amen? Somebody on the other side couldn't even see me, said, "That's got to be the Rev over there." And I thought, I'm on the spot. Somebody's watching me. Somebody's listening to my whistling. What a witness, whistling. How many of you have so much joy you sang a happy song at work? I don't always do that, but when I do, believe me, I'm a witness for Jesus. Because otherwise, I'm just like everybody else, except I go to church. I can get embroiled in the politics. I refuse to. One of them tells me about this one, and one tells me about Bush and that, and the other one tells me about that. And you can argue your politics all day long. You'll never win the world arguing politics with them. You've got to show them Jesus. Amen. We're living epistles. We're read of all men. And I didn't even realize that guy was reading me, but I had it that morning, thank God. As one of those mornings I had it, the glory of God was still on me. I listened to praise on the way to work, pray before I get out of my car. So I went in whistling, amen, instead of mourning and crying and belly aching. And you know how we do, amen. So anyway, I was whistling and giving God praise, you know, just by being happy. You can give God praise just by being happy, by being joyful, amen. It speaks volumes about your trust and your relationship with the Lord. And that voice came to the other side and said, that's got to be the Rev over there. And another voice came and said, yeah, he's got that deep, settled peace within. I never knew how powerful peace speaks to a world in turmoil and trouble. But if you can achieve peace in this world, under your conditions, the world will perk up their ears and they will take notice. Amen. Whew. It's part of your spiritual armor is your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. If you're agitated, you're one step from being angry. Wave at me if you know I'm telling you the truth. One step from being angry. One step from it. You can. How many has ever had a button push? You didn't see it coming. You didn't mean for it to happen. You didn't know you were so on edge and something just snapped. Have you ever heard anything? Had anything just snap? I drove into a car wash where a woman snapped one day. They had taken and took that steering wheel thing where your steering wheel comes up, you know, and locks up out of the way so they could vacuum her seats, and the guy driven it out with it up like this and hadn't pulled it down. And the woman was patiently, nice looking woman, sophisticated woman. This was a sophisticated car. It looked like a Lincoln Town car, and it was beautiful, you know, this deep cobalt blue, and had those white leather seats. And she was calmly waiting, dressed to the nines, for her car to come through. And I'm behind waiting for my old car to come through at that time. And amen, her car came through, and you look at her and think, boy, she's got it together. She's probably married to a doctor or a lawyer. She's out shopping. She's going to Belk. She's going to, you know, some nice store. You know, she's on her way to the mall. Credit cards and money in her pocket. Everything's fine with that lady. She's dressed up. Her hair's done. She's got her nails done. Rings on her finger. I don't know about bells on her toes, but she was really dressed up. Can you say amen? And she got in her car. And she got in her car. And she clicked. She just snapped. Because that steering wheel was up here. And she looked at that and she said, what am I going to do? How am I going to drive like this? And these three poor people that were wiping down the cars, their eyes got big as saucers, and so did mine. We thought, dear Lord, this woman's off her nuts. She's going completely crazy. And the guy started apologizing. Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry, ma'am. Here, let me get it down. What am I going to do? How can I drive like this? And I thought, lady, chill out. What's the matter, you? Don't you think the Lord would like to come down sometime and say, Pamela, why don't you just chill out? You're one step away from anger. And what happens when you get into anger? Where's your testimony go? I know where mine goes. It goes clean out the window. It's that peace that sustains my testimony, like the Roman hobnail boots sustained him and stabilized him in battle. He could stand his ground and use his armor because his feet were planted. And your feet have to be planted in the peace that the gospel of Christ is supposed to give. Amen? It's an unsung, underrated piece of armor. You hear about swords and shields. Give me a barefooted man on the steep places of battle, and I'll show you a man who will drop his sword, his spear, and fall to his knees because of his feet. Satan can get your peace. Other things will quench the word. The sword of the Spirit is not utilized. Amen. Because it's used by faith. Amen. The shield of faith comes down. The fiery darts find their mark in your heart. Hello? And you're defeated. When my enemies come against me and it pricks my heart and blows me away, my shield is down. But if my shield is up, I can go on. But I need peace to stand. Amen? So we wear masks. We wear masks. We bring them to God's house because we know what's expected of us. You just don't walk in there like you were Saturday at home. This is their Sunday face. Sometimes if this is our Sunday face, I don't want to see the Monday one. Can you say amen? But even now, we wear masks. You ever seen worship teams? I used to watch a worship team of a major church in this city, and there was a lady that looked like her face was beaming with love for Christ, and next thing you know, she's run off with a man in the church and left her husband and left her family. What was going on every Sunday morning when these love and devotion songs were being sung, encouraging others to worship the living God? A mask! And behind that mask, the real person, at the inner core, was dissatisfied, was open to temptation. You know what opens you for temptation? Dissatisfaction. As long as you're fulfilled in Christ, Satan's going to be hard-pressed to offer you something to the world that would pull you away from him. Amen? So this is, everybody say mask. I got to hurry. There's so much to cover. A woman and her family were working in her yard, raking and bagging leaves. She was in old jeans, dirty tennis shoes, her hair hidden under an old baseball cap, no makeup, and wearing her husband's old sweatshirt. A moving van pulled into the drive of a vacant house next door, followed by a new Mercedes and a Cadillac Escalade. Out stepped the new neighbors, waving, "Hello!" She ran inside. The husbands talked, and he invited them to dinner so they wouldn't have to cook after moving in. That night, his wife put on her makeup, her blonde wig, her false eyelashes, her fake nails, her colored contact lenses, her best dress and shoes, and said, "I'm glad they're coming to dinner. Now they can see the real me." Let me tell you who sees the real you. If you're married, your husband sees the real you. Oh, you get to see the real him too. I'm not going to tell you something. I was going to tell you something. Anyway, how do you know the honeymoon's over when I'm not going to tell you? I'm not going to tell you. It is not appropriate. I shouldn't have even thought it. Forgive me, Jesus. What's the real you like? You see, God can't help any of us unless we come before him, the real us. If the real you isn't passionate about Christ, come before the Lord and say, "Lord, I've lost my first love and I want it back. And I'm beginning again to seek you. I'm going to start doing my first works without passion, in pursuit of passion." You don't do it because you're passionate. You do it to get the passion back. Can you say amen? How long has it been since you've been met at the door, sir, with your wife in a thin negligee? Don't answer that. How long has it been, ma'am, since your husband brought you roses for no other reason except to say, not to get out of the doghouse? Yeah, I know. I'm telling you. Amen. How long has it been since we've been passionate? And since we got each other, why be passionate anymore? I'll tell you when the roses come. If there's a car wreck. Yeah, in trouble. If there's a car wreck and a highway patrolman comes to the door and said, "Are you Mr. Robert A. Venable? Are you the husband of Pamela Venable? I'm sorry to tell you that there's been an accident and she was dead on arrival. Did you know at that funeral what's going to be on top of that where she can't touch it, can't smell it, can't see it, can't appreciate it? But out of our guilt more than anything else, there's going to be a spray on top of that casket. And you know what it's going to be? Beautiful roses that no one can smell. Beautiful roses that no one can see. Honey, if you want to give somebody a rose, give it to them now. In the land of the living, where it counts." Wow. One lady said that when her husband died, she looked at her fine china sitting up in her china cabinet. She said, "What was I saving it for?" What was I saving? The fine china, the most important person in my life. We ate together every night, and the fine china stayed for holding it back for some important event. What's more important than sitting down with the love of your life and eating dinner together? She said, I should have pulled out the candelabra. I should have lit the candles some night. We should have pulled out the good china and sat and gazed into each other's eyes, and I don't have a chance to do that. And she looked at that china and said, what was I saving the china for? We take for granted so much. And when we take God for granted and heaven for granted and the things of God for granted, other things are going to enter in and choke the word. That's a terrible thing to happen. Will you stand your feet? Oh, everybody say, one thing have I desired. That will I seek after. To inquire at thy temple. And to behold thy beauty. Did I give you number 5, please? Get ready. An altar service won't change this thing in our life. It's what we're going to do Monday through Saturday. Or what we're not going to do Monday through Saturday. How many know you're not like Jesus? You're not the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. How many realize that? That the bar is high. How many know that you'll go through your whole life and never attain that perfectly? How many realize this is a progressive thing? How many equally realize God's going to work to that end throughout your whole life? For to whom He did foreknow, He did predestine. See, the only thing everything's going to, only way everything's going to work together for good is to those who love. Everybody say passionate. Amen. There's only one way to love God, isn't there? Come on, there's only one way to love God. Come on, there's only one way to love God. One kind and quality love that God will accept. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with your leftovers. Thou shalt love the Lord with most of your heart. No, thou shalt love the Lord with 99% of your being. No, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? This is to keep you safe. Not to make it hard, but to keep you safe from the enemy. Can you say amen? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And listen to this, your strength, your energy. That I've never seen such a disenergized church world in my whole life. And all of your what? Your strength. I believe if you'll put the kingdom first and serve God with everything you have, He'll take care of your house. He'll take care of your bills. He'll take care of your clothes. He'll take care of your food. But don't give God the leftovers. When a sports fan is more fanatical about the game than Christians are about the cross. And we've lost our passion. And God says you can have it back. By doing what? Your first works. What you did when you had it. Well, I took time for the word. Well, take time for it. But I don't feel anything. The feelings will come. Do the works. Show God that you're in pursuit of the passion. Can you say amen? Remember from whence thou art fallen. Amen. Look where you were and look where you are and take off the mask. And repent. That means turn around. Reevaluate your life. I have a fear. And it's a holy fear. It's a fear, it's a concern for God's sheep that I'm going to preach my heart out and God is going to move by His Spirit and other things entering in is going to keep choking the Word. And we're not going to have the fruit of peace and the fruit of joy. Amen? Are you listening to me? And we're not going to have the strength and stability we need to stand in these last days. And there'll be some standing here that will not only miss revival, but help hold it back from those who would be revived. If they could see something more than routine and ritual on Sunday morning. How many people in this room say, Pastor V, I want my passion back. I want it back. Come on. I want it back. Let God see it in your heart. How many know we need revival? We need revival. If you collapse here on the floor, I'll tell you what the real core of revival means. It means the breath of life into a body that threatens to become a corpse if it is not revived. Revival is not an option for super spiritually inclined people. It is an imperative to spiritual life. Do you understand what I'm telling you? If you quit breathing, your heart quits pumping at this very moment and you fall out on this floor, I can give you CPR, cardio, pulmonary resuscitation. What is the end of that? To revive you. To take my breath and blow it in you. Can you say amen? To keep you alive with my own breath until you can breathe on your own again. Don't you believe the Holy Spirit wants to come and breathe new life into your heart. Breathe new life into your life. Breathe life into your testimony. Breathe life into your love, life into your faith. Because faith without corresponding actions is dead. As sure as a body without a spirit is dead. Remember the Shulamite woman? Fell in love with this prince, this king. Have you seen my beloved? Has anybody seen my beloved? She said, I'm sick with love. It hurts to be without him. It hurts to not be in his presence. It hurts in my heart not to be able to look upon his face. I'm sick with love. Watchmen on the walls, have you seen my beloved? Daughters of Jerusalem, have you seen my beloved? And she wouldn't stop searching and seeking till she found him. And laid hold on him and took him to her mother's house. When the bridegroom comes, he's coming for a church whose lamps are trimmed and burning, filled with oil. An empty profession will not get you ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. Sholabadite. It will put you to sleep. Pastor, I want back the passion. Amen. Let God see it one more time. Let him see it. I want to be so passionate for the Lord, nothing else matters. I remember when we were ready to leave everything and go to Jamaica. We thought God was calling us to Jamaica. Everywhere we went, it was prophesied, there's a work for you to do. And we had such a passion to please God, serve God. But you know something? That passion to do was not what God wanted to crystallize in us. It was the passion to be. And you shall tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And you shall do exploits, and you shall do wonders, and you shall do miracles, and you shall do mighty, manifest, anointed ministries. No, and you shall be. You shall be. This is power to be before it's power to do. You shall be what? Witnesses for me, no witnesses unto me. Amen. A man without peace handed out a tract. They'll read you before they read what you hand them. You can be perfectly accurate biblically, but they're going to read you first, and they're going to read me first. And when we get back on track, God doesn't care where you are on the potter's wheel. He'll take out the flaws. He'll reshape the vessel. It's by the Spirit of God these things are wrought. But you've got to get back on the potter's wheel and say, God isn't finished with me yet. And I'm not satisfied where I am. So I want a fresh new work to take place in my life. That's the beginning of revival in you. And revival in you will touch other people. Revival in me will touch other people. I've come to you this day to revive you, saith God, to give you back your peace, your joy, your excitement, your enthusiasm, to give you back your witness. to give you back your optimism in the future, to know that I'm working a work in you. And everything that touches your life, if you love me with all your heart, I'll use it to make you more like my son. And the enemy will lose, even when it looks like he's winning, saith God.